we'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Bob Vecchio reminding you to check out our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. You're going to see photos from past episodes and links to past shows, but more importantly, that's your place to go to suggest a program, club, or activity that your students are involved in, and your school may be the next one right here in our Spotlight. Continuing our conversation with some really knowledgeable superintendents from across Suffolk County, and we're talking about the budget that just passed up in Albany, some of the legislative nuggets that came through, some positive, some not so positive, and then we'll talk some operational stuff. But Ron, before the break, we were talking about some of the things that were positive that came about in the budget, the TRS reserve, the raising of the cap of the DSS salary for the district superintendent of BOCES, which, you know, was frozen in time forever and a day, and really became a problem with recruiting talented people to head up a very critical component of public education throughout New York State. But there's also still some troubling stuff. We alluded to the tax cap being permanent, and that's really no surprise to anybody. But there were some other things that kind of, has us keeping a close eye on, or we're really concerned with what was passed. So what are some of the other things that came about?
You know, one of the things that came up, Bob, that we're really concerned about is this idea of paid time off for elections. It's actually a law that previously existed, but the previous law had an exemption in it wherein any employer or any employee, I should say, that had a four-hour window pre- or post-shift had adequate time to vote, and it didn't impact them.
Right.
The current law that was in the budget basically extended the window for release time from 2 hours to 3 hours, which is really no big deal if you still have that four-hour exemption window. But it eliminated that.
Right.
So now we're in a position in schools where we have to provide, essentially, on 2 days' notice, 3 hours of release time to our staff. That includes teachers, that includes teaching assistants, bus drivers, anyone that asks for their time off, their 3 hours' time off, to be able to vote. And we think that this is a little absurd, given the fact that the typical elementary day would be the longest day,
right,
the latest day. Typically, if it ends at 3:30, there's 5.5 hours for
exactly
to get to the
polls. There's plenty of time to get to the polls. They open up early, 6 a.m., 7 a.m. till 9 p.m. But the huge unfunded mandate that this could create, because now a teacher, I have to go vote. You can't say no. Now we got to get a sub in the classroom, so there's an additional cost because they're able to take this time without being charged any benefit time, correct?
Correct. when we're talking about, a time when we have, we're paying subs $125 a day and we can't even get them.
Exactly. There's
extreme
shortage.
We're talking
about
classrooms that can't get covered. We essentially would have to close our schools.
Yeah.
But it's not just election day. It's
no.
Any election. So, upwards of potentially 5 days throughout the year, we may have to close. Given the increasing diversity on the island, we've got, we're recognizing more holidays, and appropriately so.
And SED just changed from days to hours,
correct,
which could impact some schools.
And when we're talking about having to meet a 180-day mandate and have to recognize these all of the holidays that we're recognizing,
yep,
and have to take off for elections, or close our schools for elections, we're potentially looking at maybe losing state aid for not meeting our mandate.
Or Plainview School District doesn't have a winter break to make up for some of these additional holidays, something that came about in the 70s because of the fuel shortage, which has been a long-standing tradition, that President's Week off may be something that may be a casualty with all this.
Correct. We're going to have to make up the days somewhere.
Yeah. Ken, polling places aside and release time, again, just it's these unfunded mandates that sneak their way in, into the budget package. But you have to keep a close eye because, once they're done with the budget until June, that's really when people get some crazy ideas that, all of a sudden schools should be doing all this and who cares about the cost. Anything else on the horizon that really, has you concerned?
The subject of unfunded mandates comes up every year at budgeting time, and there are some real prudent decisions made at the state level of things that make complete sense that we should be doing as school districts, but often the funding to support those ideas doesn't adjoin the implementation. This year, we were notified by the Department of Justice that any type of written materials that came out of the school district involving voting, involving our budget, needed to be printed in both English and Spanish. And that makes perfect sense. The percentage of native Spanish speakers in Suffolk County has grown tremendously, and giving them equal access to information makes 100% sense. However, the costs associated with hiring interpreters to make those translations for the printed materials and to be present for our budget has significant expense associated with it. And there was no additional aid that came along with those directives. And that's one of 50 examples just within the last few years of great ideas that we should be doing, but the aid just doesn't come with it.
Speaking of a great idea that should make sense and should make life easier and maybe even save some money, right? Computer-based testing. Now, it was rolled out on a pilot basis, few districts across the state to first dip your toe in the water with online testing for the state mandated tests. My district was one of them. It didn't go so well. So what are we going to do to address that with SED?
Yeah, and it's not, you know, I hate to say it's not an SED issue, but it really is not an SED issue. We all three of us actually had the benefit of meeting with the commissioner last week following the difficulties that took place within the computer-based testing for 3-8. Elwood also was one of the districts that volunteered, so I got to experience some of those difficulties firsthand and watch what was happening in the classrooms. But the commissioner took a very solid position on pointing the finger in the correct direction of Questar, which is a small technology company who was given a large contract with the state and didn't have the capacity to meet the need. And she, you know, shared her opinion about how that was done by the prior administration at SED. And it was one of two choices, Questar or Pearson. And, you know, when she mentioned that Pearson was the other option, the response in the room was, well, we can certainly see why you went with Questar.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, a company was hired to do a job that they had no capacity to do.
Right.
And even with just 20% of eligible districts participating, the system crashed. We can't imagine what would have happened if 100% of school districts had volunteered to participate in the computer-based model. Computer-based model will make sense for kids, make sense for the administration portion and the grading portion, and it matches the instruction that's taking place in many classrooms. The fact that they were that the state was not able to contract with a company capable of performing as desired, that's the concerning part.
That is a real concern. And, you know, Questar actually has had some past issues of their own with data breaches and things like that, too, that we all remember. So it'll be interesting to see how the next steps evolve and what the solutions will be focused on.
We did receive a memo post-ELA testing prior to the math testing from SED. Requesting that schools stagger their start times for the different grade levels and gave some direction about which days and what hours to do each grade level. So they're looking for ways to dilute the pool a bit so that there are fewer students logging on at the same time. And hopefully that will bring some relief to the system.
All right. Now, Lars, you know, on first blush, this next question that I'm going to ask that was originally going to be part of the budget, then put off legalization of marijuana. You know, you might not think of, you know, school districts with that right away. You know, forget the promised aid that all the tax revenue is going to go to schools, you know, like the lotto, like casinos and everything else. We won't even go there. Operationally, though, it's going to create some challenges for school districts, particularly with vaping and legalization. What is your thoughts on that?
Both our local and state organizations, I think, had a very cogent message to Albany to say, don't have this conversation alone. Don't have it as part of the budget, but don't talk about legalization of marijuana alone. We have to address things like the opioid crisis and vaping, e-cigarettes, the flavored juices that go in there. And for those supporters of legalization of marijuana who say those are different, they're not. They're not different. When it comes to kids making decisions, we have to look at it holistically. So I think it was a good thing that the legislature pulled it out of the budget for a larger conversation because it deserves more attention for the substance use issues that it presents, as well as the economic issues that it presents. I was talking to an assemblyman during this cycle, though, who sort of tongue-in-cheek, but maybe not so much so, said the revenue expected from legalization of cannabis has been spent 10 times over.
And they probably haven't projected the actual net cost, because there are costs you have to set aside for the unintended or maybe intended consequences of this policy. All you need to do is look at Colorado and the increase that they've had to put towards treatment and enforcement and other issues that they've dealt with. So it's a big deal. So, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. We could probably fill up three or four shows, and we just scratched the surface. We're going to have you back again, maybe during the summer break when you guys are still at work. Most people don't realize that. Superintendents work 12 months a year. And we'll talk about the upcoming school season. Ron, all the best to you in Center Moriches. Ken, thanks for everything that you're going to be doing with the Suffolk County School Superintendents Association. You got hard shoes to fill with Mr. Clemenson there.
Very tough act to follow, Bob.
All right. You've been listening to the Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Catch us out on the web at linewsradio.com. Don't forget to like that Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Suggest a program, club, or activity for your kids, and your school may be right here in our spotlight.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.